Okay.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, Scott Simpson, Director of the Parks Division. I wanted to give you a brief update on the flooding issues that we're dealing with this year. Many of you, these have happened in your areas. You're probably familiar with some of the things that Al's going to walk us through. But, you know, as we discussed yesterday about some budgeting and that kind of thing, obviously what we're seeing right now is going to impact our budgets for next year, probably in some cases for years to come. And we just want to, you know, make sure that you're aware of it. I don't think we've probably seen the end of it. I mean, there, as the water goes down in some places, we're going to see some additional things that need to be addressed. We're having things that are popping up on a weekly basis. Just had another one this week that Al's going to talk about. So it's timely, and I'll be in eastern South Dakota next week, traveling around with Willie and Jeff, our two regional supervisors over there, and seeing some of these things for myself, and then you know, also discussing their you know, some of the other issues that they think might be coming down the road here, and then trying to put a plan together to address these issues. So with that, Al Havatter.
Thanks, Scott. Again, Al Nedved with the Division of Parks and Recreation. This year, you know, conditions began changing, you know, shortly after Christmas, where we started seeing, you know, a colder winter. You know, snows, you know, started to accumulate, and you know, a lot of times we watch, you know, especially in terms of what the Missouri River, what to expect on that. You know, we keep kind of a heavy watch on the mountain snowpack and what's going on in Montana and Wyoming there to know how that affects our Missouri River management system there, but. But when you start seeing these more broad-scale weather events like we saw this spring, mostly in the form of two specific events, we knew we were going to have kind of an interesting spring ahead of us. But as you recall, you know, the first major event happened on the 13th and 15th of March, which was what they termed a bomb cyclone, which is, from a non-meteorological guy, that's basically a rapidly developing winter storm that came right through South Dakota and dropped a lot of moisture. Probably the most damage that particular event caused was, you know, the heavy rains that we saw in the southeastern part of the state. And you've probably seen on the news some of the events that happened further south into Nebraska, which resulted in the breach of the Spencer Dam and the overloading of the Nyah River river that goes into Gavin's Point Dam. So, and that's, you know, as far as I've been involved in game fish parks, that's been really rare to see that kind of event, you know, put that kind of pressure like that on the system. And Lewis and Clark Lake has basically one tributary coming into it, and that's the Niobrara River. And as you know, the Gavin's Point Dam does not have a lot of storage capacity. So when something like that happens that fast, it definitely overwhelmed. And I think Lewis and Clark Lake saw a record high it's never seen before. It probably shattered the old record by a foot and a half or more. I think it went up to 12, I believe was the high elevation there. So that had definitely had an impact on areas in that southeast extreme part of the park there. And I'll show you some examples of that in a few minutes here. But then in April here, a few weeks ago, we saw it again. And again, it kind of a very similar storm. You know, that southeastern part got the rain, and you know, from Sioux Falls to Yankton, probably didn't see as much snow. But as you can see, the rest of the state received a lot of snowfall, and you can see where this snowfall fell right in the James River Valley, and this big portion of that fell in the upper reaches of the Big Sioux River drainage area there. So right in the Glacial Lakes region. So it definitely contained a lot of moisture. It was one of those wet, you know, heavy snows that you knew was going to run off quickly and you know, cause some issues because most of the lakes and reservoirs were already fairly full. But this is not an all-inclusive list of all the areas that were affected by the flooding, but it's probably the ones, at least in the Parks Division, that we dealt with the most. But again, you can kind of see kind of where the majority of those areas came. But also includes Shade Hill up there. You know, Shade Hill, there's a lot of snowpack and runoff up there, and we were watching things very closely. And luckily, we, you know, some of that Ketterling's Point day use area was inundated, but you know, the runoff was slow enough to allow some of that water to escape down the spillway there, And we were prepping to do some sandbagging on some facilities such as the lodge there, but luckily it didn't get quite that high. It got within inches, but it got close. As you recall, back in 2009 is when we had the last major flooding there at Shade Hill, and this was looking to come close to that, but luckily we got a little bit of relief with the runoff. But I'll just kind of go through these quickly, but along the Missouri River, Lake Francis Case was probably one of the main concerns. When that lake reaches elevation 1363 is when we start seeing some of our parks and recreation areas getting affected, and that's about where it is today. It's come down probably 4 or 5 feet from where it peaked there, and we've had some significant closures the result of that flooding, and it still exists. North Point Recreation Area is still closed due to some of the flooding there, and I'll show you some pictures here in a bit. The Randall Creek area sustained some damage in that first runoff event. I'll show you some pictures there. Springfield, Lewis and Clark received some minor damage in those particular parks. And then a lot of our parks that are on or near the Big Sioux River received some flooding and some issues there. So that kind of shows. Like I say, there's many other smaller lake access areas or other areas that were likely affected and continue to be affected, but that just gives you an idea kind of where we're seeing some of the major issues. It did require some closures early on. We had some closures at Palisades, Big Sioux, and Lake Herman because of water coming over the roads and things like that, but those have since been lifted and those parks are back in operation. Areas where we have current closures that are still ongoing are below there. Lake Ponset, the lower part of that campground, has water in it. The North Point, as I said, still has water in some of those areas. Randall Creek is currently closed. As you know, that's below Fort Randall Dam, but we suffered some damage to one of the bridges that has made that inoperable, and I'll show you some pictures and explain that a little bit further here. Fisher Grove State Park was flooded, continues to be flooded, and then at Good Earth, the lower trail system there is still wet and damp there as well, but the Big Sioux River is starting to go down. Some of these areas where we have had closures, we've been aggressively out trying to make contact with people that have had campground reservations or other plans at those parks to make sure that they're aware of what's going on and give them every option and every opportunity possible to find a place to camp or continue their plans, or if need be, we'll offer them a refund. But our park staff, including Emily and her staff, have been making direct phone calls and emailing folks to make sure that everybody's aware of the particular closures that are going on. And again, we've allowed those folks to either, they can keep the reservation and just see what happens. You know, maybe the water will come down quick enough where we can uphold that reservation. We can allow them to cancel their reservation and waive the reservation fee. Or we can work with them to see if we can find some openings or abilities to transfer to another park that might help make their stay a little bit better. So, and then we're also notifying campers in areas where, day use areas might be affected, whether a boat ramp or a swim beach or a trail or something like that might be underwater. But what we didn't do is just close parks outright. We want to make sure that if a park has the ability to accommodate some use and we can section off those flooded areas safely and effectively, we'll continue to keep those parks open and keep people coming where we can. So I'll just get in a little bit of some of the major issues that we've seen with some of the flooding that's occurred in our state parks and under no order here, but we'll start with Randall Creek, which is just below Fort Randall Dam by Pickstown. This area that has two areas, the day use area and the picnic area is off to the west, and the campground, which has about 140 campsites and cabins, is on the other side of the creek here. You can see Randall Creek runs right through it and kind of bisects the park there. And what connects those two areas is a bridge that's right there, and that's the only way from get from this side of the park to the other. And during that first event in March, heavy rains you know, just came rushing down that Randall Creek drainage and just scoured out that whole area underneath that bridge. There was protective riprap that was there, you know, all through there that protected that bridge, and it just blew it out. It exposed the pilings on the bridge, and even to the point where some of those pilings were starting to move. And you know, basically, like I say, it's gone down to, you know, where those pilings end and into the bedrock there. And I don't know if you can see it really well on this picture, but you can even see where there's a sag in the bridge. You know, that was right after the event. You can see where that bridge was even starting to sag, and like I say, these pilings were starting to kick out. And from the combination of that scouring that took place and maybe some ice chunks and other debris that came down that drainage and ran into those pilings, we had engineers on the site immediately to look at that bridge, and they quickly deemed it unsafe for vehicle travel at that time. So that basically makes our entire campground at at Randall Creek closed, basically, until we get that bridge replaced. So we looked at some options to try to, you know, one, maybe shore up this bridge in some way. We worked with our consultant engineers. We worked with DOT engineers to see if there's ways that we could temporarily just kind of shore it up. But I think the severity of what happened there ruled out any possibility of doing that. We also looked at trying to get like a portable bridge. You know, there's some companies out there that offer these bridges that you can kind of lay over the top and get those in place. But after considering the time and cost implications of doing that, we decided that we're going to proceed immediately with getting a consultant engineer on place to see if we can get a design and get funding to replace this bridge. Right now, we had a engineer look at this bridge several years ago to estimate what the replacement value of it is, and at that time they came up with an estimate of about $800,000 to replace this bridge. Prior to the event, it was in pretty good shape. We weren't scheduled to replace this bridge for another 20 years or so, but this definitely sped things up. So we're working with our engineering section to again identify an engineer to help us design a new bridge and get a cost estimate, and when we start working on our FY21 budget process here this summer, this will definitely be part of that discussion. Just real quick on Shade Hill, like I say, we saw some flooding there. The day use area that was there went underwater, and we were a little nervous, especially when that second event comes through. But you know, like, luckily this was just the coolness and the cloudiness that we saw this spring following these events definitely helped us out in some areas. It really slowed down that snow melt and allowed some water to get through the system. So you know, we have some minor damage at Shade Hill, but nothing that will prohibit opening things up and getting everything going for the year. So, Lewis and Clark, this picture was taken at the Midway boat ramp there during the height of the water level there. You can see where it overtopped the breakwater that was there. I don't think that's ever happened that we can recall. And we had some dock damage there, and it, you know, the ice kind of moved around and caused some damage on there, but I believe those all have been fixed and moving forward. One of the swim beach and areas where the trail is, some drainage came down through there and you know, started to wash out and erode that trail bed there. But again, that I think we were able to keep that open. I know staff got out there and started shaping that up and fixing that immediately, so I believe we're still open there. This picture over here is at Springfield. We lost an old picnic shelter there where the water came up, ice came in, and just kind of tipped it over and so forth there. But saw some damage at Springfield as well. Big Sioux, the campground flooded there, and luckily we were able to find ways to get the camping cabins to higher ground there. We found a kind of a unique individual that had a innovative way of lifting up our camping cabins and moving them out of there, and very inexpensively. So that was a good thing that we got those out, and those didn't get wet. So, but since then, those have been put back in place, and I believe we're in operation there. Lake Ponset, this is one of those areas where we're continuing to see some issues there. This lake just came up ever so slowly this spring. It just kind of just fractions of an inch every day, and it just and it's not showing signs of going down very rapidly yet either. So you can see by the graph there, it's just kind of holding steady, and it's just starting to put some water into the campground there, that lower loop of the campground. We're seeing some erosion along there. We've lost a lot of campground there in the last 30 years or so, and we've had several riprap projects, and this one appears to be holding fairly well here, but those north winds will beat up that wreck area pretty bad if we get some heavy, gusty north winds. So we're keeping an eye on things there, and hopefully the water will go down there as well. But again, that lower campground loop is closed. North Point, one of those areas, again, campground went underwater there. We're starting to see the water go down. Anytime when our electrical systems, our electrical pedestals are inundated, we have to go back and either replace some of those facilities or do some testing on them to make sure that they're safe. So before we can open up these campsites at North Point, we have to do some testing on them to make sure that those cables and wires were not compromised. Fisher Grove, kind of a sad story here, but years ago, the campground used to exist over on the north side of this bridge here, and you know, this bridge was built in 1935, so that makes it about 84 years old. Been there a long time. At one point, the weight limit on this bridge was restricted to the point where we couldn't allow vehicles over it. So rather than build a new bridge, we decided to relocate the campground over on the south side of the park there, and then just keep this there as a pedestrian bridge so where people can go across the river and go hike around on that old campground or that whole northern part. Nice area to hunt and just walk around over there. So we've been maintaining this bridge as a pedestrian-only bridge, but real quickly, our park manager noticed a lot of debris piling up against this bridge as the water was coming up and up and up, and you know, within a few hours, it finally gave way. That bridge was pushed over, and we lost it. You know, the water's still high there. We haven't been able to really get in there safely to assess, you know, where the bridge is and how we might start thinking about going about getting that structure out of the riverbed and things like that. But we did lose that bridge. So that's probably the most debris I've ever seen come up and pile up against a bridge that quickly, that fast. And you know, when we got there, we could see it was starting to bow inwards a little bit. And once that log jam gets there, you can't really get it out. So we did lose that bridge. And then last, kind of the major items here, this is at Lake Alvin, which is in Lincoln County. This area, you know, obviously saw a lot of water and input into it, and started to see some issues on this north side of the spillway there, where this hillside was getting very soft. There's slides that were occurring, and eventually resulted in this section of wall collapsed and let loose. So we lost that section of the wall. There was also some subsurface undermining of materials there on the south side of the wing wall. We've since come in and filled that back in. That's a temporary measure. We don't expect that's going to be a permanent fix here, but we also did some preventive measures. We tried to put some sandbags up on the spillway to kind of divert water away from this wall here. So we put some sand, you know, those large sandbags up there to try to keep that away. It helped to some extent, but we definitely have a serious issue with Lake Alvin there with that particular dam structure. It's not, in the engineer's opinion, not a life safety issue yet. The dam itself is not compromised or in danger of letting loose. But this spillway structure is definitely a concern, and we got to work immediately with our engineering section and our consultant engineers to start to assess this dam structure and try to figure out what a course of action for the future this is. You know, some other dams, I know we've had some eyes on them, looking at them, Mina Lake, Sorum. There might be a couple others that we're kind of keeping an eye on, but Lake Alvin was probably the one that where we saw some significant damage to that is going to require some action. So, again, that shows one of those slides there where that hillside's just coming down and putting pressure on that wall and creating some debris there. So as far as next steps, I want to continue to identify the facilities that are damaged, and you know, some of these areas, like I said, we really can't get into yet. It's just too wet or too high of water to really accurately assess those. So we'll continue to assess those as we can. Continue to monitor the Corps of Engineers releases on the dams. We're expecting what I call kind of a maximum release in terms of what the Corps puts through the powerhouses this time of year, which is usually around 55,000 cubic feet per second, which in some areas causes some concerns, such as like Farm Island, where high powerhouse releases can inundate our beach and portions of the park and some of our fishing areas. It can affect some of those kind of uses there at Farm Island and some of those other areas. So we'll continue to monitor those. We'll continue to put together project scopes and estimates. We're still working with our Division of Emergency Management in the Governor's Office on any potential disaster declaration recommendations that might come out of this. You know, there's obviously counties and other local governments that are assessing their damages and infrastructure as well that will go into those requests. So we will be a part of that and how we put forth our estimates and scopes. And obviously, like I say, we'll be making repairs where we can with existing resources in some of those areas, and areas that we can't, we'll have to identify those as potential projects for future budgets and put those in consideration for those. So that's the flooding in a nutshell. I'm glad to answer any questions if you have any.
Questions, Mary? Commissioner Boyd.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Commissioner Boyd here. Thinking down at Lewis and Clark Lake, with the Niobrara River being the source of an already significant siltation problem in the lake, do you have any sense yet of what that flooding in Nebraska is doing to that situation?
Assuming your question is in terms of what you know, if there's an additional element of the siltation that's occurring now that either came in through that event or through you know, future runoff events there. That's a good question. I think you know, a lot of folks were you know, that just one event we just never really seen before, and the severity that came down that Niobrara River. So we do plan on, you know, visiting with the Corps a little bit more on this and understanding that better. And at this time, I can't say for sure what that impact might be. But I know there was a tremendous event for the folks in Nebraska as well, and seeing those pictures and things that came through, I mean, that was something spectacular. So I would expect that it did have an impact on the sedimentation that's occurring there in that Springfield area, running water area that you know, we'll begin to see here shortly. So thank you.
Any other questions, comments? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So how about we do revenue camping reports followed by license sales update?
Good morning again.